We're going to turn to the Word of God for a few moments this morning, and I know time is getting a bit late here, so we're not going to take a whole lot of time, but we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's Bibles in the pews in front of you, and if you need one, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is a chapter that I've mentioned this a few weeks ago when we were going through the Hebrews series. We'll get back into that in the next week or two. But this is a chapter that deals more than any other chapter in the New Testament, deals with resurrection. Not necessarily the resurrection of Christ. Al just read the chapter there in John chapter 20 about Jesus being resurrected. But this takes it, Paul's taking from that the fact that Christ is risen, and tells us some of the things about our own resurrection. So this is what we're going to look at this morning. And we talked on some of these things a little while ago, so we're not going to take a whole lot of time to explain them, but we will go through some different things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 down to 23. And we'll read that first, and then we'll come back and touch on a few things. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found to be false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. I mean, can you imagine how important it is that the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? Because if he didn't rise from the dead, your sins weren't paid for, and you will have to face eternity, on your own merits. But the fact is, Jesus did rise from the dead. Verse 18. Then also those who have fallen asleep, or those who have died in Christ, have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiful. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man, that's Adam, for since by man came death, by man, Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, and afterward those who are Christ at his coming. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's bow together and ask God's direction as we look at this morning. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the goodness of God. We thank you for this wonderful day when we remember that Jesus died and rose again. And Father, as we've already been reading, dear Lord, that if he didn't rise, Lord, we would still be in our sins. Thank you for that fact, Lord, that Jesus is alive. The grave is empty, as we were already talking about this morning. And now, Father, as we look into the Word of God, we just pray that you would help us to understand some of the things that we're going to look at concerning even our own resurrection. And we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, I should say, we went through some of these things in a series that we're doing on the book of Hebrews. And I thought at that time we would take time and go through it again Easter Sunday for those that weren't there that day. So these are some of the things that we've already covered back, I think it was the first week of March. So anyway, seven facts about resurrection, about our own resurrection. Okay, and resurrection in general, I should say, because some things apply to our resurrection, some things just to resurrection in general. And these are some of the things that we're going to look at this morning. And hopefully, if you've been a type of person that's been always afraid of dying, afraid of, you know, lying in a cold grave and all these spooky things and scary things and things, hopefully this is going to give you some hope this morning that God has got some good things in store for us. And as Christians, we ought not to be afraid of death. Jesus already took the sting of death and dealt with that and gave us the victory, the Bible says. So we're going to just touch on a few things here this morning. Now, if you stay in your chapter there, in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, we'll look at some scriptures from there. And any scriptures that are not in there, I'll have them up on the screen. Okay, so you just keep one chapter in the Bible there and we follow this along. Okay, First of all, there's a process to resurrection. As I said, we covered this before, but we're just going to go down through it again. There's a process to resurrection. The Bible tells us that we must perish, then we are raised, and then we're changed. We're perished, raised, and changed. And you see this in a scripture here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in the same passage here, verse 52. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You're dead, obviously, so you perished. He said, we're going to be raised, and then we're going to be changed. Now, well, I go on. I could take time and explain all this, but we'll explain it again as we go down through. Resurrection's end, or the end of resurrection, in other words, the ultimate goal of resurrection, is glorification. Okay, now these may sound like big words. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, basically what it's saying, when our body is glorified, now the Bible also refers to this as the redemption of our bodies. The Bible says all creation is groaning, waiting for that time, the revelation of sons of God, and the redemption of our bodies. Our bodies will be redeemed. And what it means is a transformation from a physical body into a spiritual body. That's what the change is all about. When he says we're all going to be changed, is when this physical body is changed into a spiritual body. Because a physical body cannot live in heaven. Remember, the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So it's got to be a change that takes place. So that transformation that takes place when your body is changed from a physical body into a spiritual body, that's what's referred to as glorification or the redemption of our bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again, verse 42 to 44. Paul says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. Now, corruption means your body can rot. Now, this sounds bad, but I'm going to say it right now. My father died when I was 7 years old. And I mean, 7 years old, you don't understand a whole lot of things. And I can remember coming up to my mother just a week or two after, and I said, Mom, and we used to call our father Pop. I said, has Pop rotted yet? And she said, Stephen, don't talk like that. And then a little while after, I said, well, you know, when you go in the grave, you're going to rot. I said, is he rotten yet? You know, I mean, I didn't know the difference. As a little boy, I was reading somebody a while ago, and he said, when we start to grow up, he said, we're all dying. From the day you're conceived, you're already dying. You know, and one fellow put it this way. He said, until you're 30 years old, he said, you're ripening. He said, but after 30, he said, you start to rot. So if you're older than 30 here today, you're starting to rot already. And but this is what Paul's saying here. This body, when it talks about corruptible, that's what it means, is decayable. It's able to rot. It's able to dissolve and just go away to nothing. Remember, the Bible says, from dust you came, to dust you'll return. You know, your body can decay, rot. It's corruptible. Okay, so this is what he's saying here. So also is the resurrection of the dead, verse 42 here. The body is sown in corruption. In other words, the body that you put in the grave is going to rot. But then he goes on to say, but it is raised in incorruption. It's raised that it can't rot anymore. Now, I know those are very, very basic terms, but you understand what I'm saying. It's raised incorruptible. In other words, it cannot decay. That's what it means. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor, and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, and it is raised in power. Now, if you've ever seen people die, I've been around enough people over the years now, being in ministry, people that have died and everything, and I mean, it's amazing what the body goes through, and disease, what the disease does to bodies and different things, and the body all, sometimes, you know, people die, they're all, twisted and different things because of the pain and everything that they're in, and their body is just fighting against disease, and it's sown in dishonor, it's sown in weakness, because our bodies can only take so much, but when it's raised, he said, it's raised in glory and is raised in power. It comes back a different body that was placed in the ground than the one that was placed in the ground. And this is what we've talked about a little while ago. Verse 14, it is sown a natural body. Now, when he's saying it is sown, it's talking about it's placed in the ground. Okay, it's finished, it's buried, it's put in a tomb or whatever. It is sown, verse 44, it is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. Remember that transformation that takes place? It's a natural body when it goes in the ground, but when your body rises again, it's going to be a spiritual body. Never be able to get sick again. Never be able to be corruptible again. That's the difference that's going to take place there. It is sown, verse 44 again. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. And then he says, there is a spiritual body. So Paul's just driving that point home. Now, so let's move on. The body that perished, okay, the body that dies, your body when it dies, the body that perished is the seed for the body that's going to be resurrected. Now you get to understand that. The body that perishes is a seed for the body that's going to come back to life. Because it's not the exact same body that comes back. You understand that? Okay, and Paul goes on to explain that. Now, let's look at the scripture for this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 to 38. Okay, the same passage again, down in verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Paul says, foolish one. In other words, now he's not talking, you know, you're stupid or you're foolish. Just unlearned is a better term there. You know, you don't understand this, and this is what he's saying. You don't understand this. He said, what you sow is not made alive until it dies. You understand, when you go out, and you fellows are farmers, know a lot more about this than I do. When you plant a seed in the ground, that seed has to die first in order to bring life. This is why Justin Andrews just singing a few minutes ago, he conquered death with death. You understand that? He conquered death with death. When the seed dies, then God does his wonderful working power and makes it come back to life again. And he said the very same thing with your body. Until you put a seed into the ground, it can't have new life. You understand it? And so this is what he's saying here in verse 35. Verse 36. He said, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it pleases him, to each seed its own body. Now, what he's saying there, when you go and plant, say, carrots, okay, you don't plant a carrot to get another carrot. You plant a seed of the carrot. You understand that? You know. So this is what he's saying. He said, what you plant is not what raises it back up again. What you plant is only a seed. But what rises up, he said, is a different body. He said, every seed has got its own body. You understand? So remember, we talked about this before. Back in Genesis, everything God created, the Bible says he created the seed within the corn or the tree or, you know, the fruit or whatever. And even within our bodies, there's a seed for our resurrection body. Okay, so this body is just a seed for the body that's going to be resurrected. Okay, it's going to be a different body. Now, okay, let's move on. Resurrection is different than resuscitation. A lot of people don't understand the difference between these two, but resurrection is different than resuscitation. Okay? In resuscitation, the same perishable body is raised. Okay? You've heard people say, oh, you know, somebody prayed for somebody and they came back from the dead. Well, that's resuscitation. Okay, because it's the same body that died rose again or came back to life. Remember Jesus, and I got these down here anyway. Jesus raised or resuscitated three individuals in his ministry. Number one, in Luke chapter 7, the widow's son of Nain. And I've told you the story before, but Jesus was coming up towards the city of Nain, and there was a door closed. And on the other side of the door, they were coming out of the city, and they were carrying a dead body. And I told you the other day, I think, I preached a message called When Life Meets Death, or Death Meets Life, whatever. When they came up and there's the gate to the city, Jesus is coming in this side, everybody's dancing and shouting and excited because Jesus is healing people, and they're all excited because God's son was with them, and you know, and they were having a wonderful time. And when they came up to the gate of the city, coming out this side, was a funeral procession, and everybody was mourning and sad. And the gate swings open, and all of a sudden you got life meeting death. And Jesus walks over, and he had a young man laid it on a stretcher, the Bible says. And Jesus went over and said, "Young man, arise." And the Bible says, gave him back to his mother. And that was a resuscitation, because the same body just came back to life. You understand that? Now, let's move on. He also did the same for Jairus' daughter in Luke chapter 8. She was a 12-year-old girl that died. Jesus went to the home and raised her back to life. He did the same thing for Lazarus. A lot of people know the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus raised Lazarus, the same body, because his sister said, "By this time he stinks." I mean, this is 4 days and the heat and everything over there. She said, "By this time he stinketh." And Jesus had removed a stone. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And so he raised up the same body that died. Okay? So Lazarus came back to life, eventually died again. Jairus' daughter came back to life. Eventually she died again. The widow's son of Nain, eventually he died again. See, here's something you need to understand. Some people say, "Well, you know, I thought God healed me, but I don't think he did. Because he healed me, you know, 5 years ago or 50 years ago, and now he's back again." You got to understand, you're in the same body. You're still in a perishable body. And it's still, you know, the devil can still bring the same thing back in your body again. So just because, you know, you say, "Well, I thought I was healed, but I guess..." No, don't look at it that way. God healed you. You know, there's no question about that. God healed you. But as you go along in life, you're still living in the same body that's still susceptible to disease and all these other things. And sometimes God will heal people from one disease, and 2 years later, something else happened. You understand what I mean? Because it's the same perishable body. It's not an incorruptible body yet. Okay, now, let's move on. So that was resuscitation, the perishable body. In resurrection, the difference between resuscitation and resurrection. In resurrection, it is a changed, glorified body that's raised. Remember Paul said, let's read scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 to 55. Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, we're not all going to die. One day Jesus is going to come back, and those that are still alive on the earth are not going to have to die in order to get their new bodies. That's what he's saying. "We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed." Whether you're dead or whether you're alive, in order to get to heaven, you've got to be changed. You understand what he's saying there? Okay, this is what he's saying there. So let's read on. He says, I show you a mystery. So we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." See, this is where the change is at. You died. Remember, he said you were corruptible when you died, but when you're raised and changed, that glorification that takes place, that transformation from a physical body to a spiritual body. He said, when you are raised. He said, "You're raised in an incorruptible body. Never again will you have to worry about getting a headache, bad eyes, bad ears, diabetes, heart disease, cancer. That's all over with. That new body can never be corruptible." Okay? And not only that, it's also immortal. In other words, it cannot die anymore. Death has got no more power over it. So like I said, sometimes people get all afraid of death and all. We need to understand what Jesus did for us. He conquered death and brought the victory for us. And this is what this is all about. So in the resurrection, it is a changed, glorified body that's raised. Not the same, we just read a little earlier, it's not the same body that you planted in the ground. That was only a seed. But when the body is raised, it's a totally different body. It looks the same thing. I could look at you and I say, that's Mel. I mean, you know, he died 542 years ago. You know, and... whatever, you know, because this is going to be an eternity we're talking about. And I look back and I said, man, he don't look a day older. Matter of fact, you know, you look even younger, you know. He won't even have white hair anymore. You'll have color again and all these different things. But you understand what I'm saying? Because it's going to be a glorified body. It's going to look like our body. The Bible says we'll be known as we are known. In other words, we'll still know each other and still enjoy each other, but we'll enjoy the fact that, man, I'll never get sick again, never have to go through any weakness again, never have to go through any doctor appointments again, and you know, all these operations and all these different things, because the body now is incorruptible and is immortal. It cannot die anymore. That's the glorified body that we're going to have. Now, How far was it supposed to be? Verse 55. Did I read that? Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's the change that's got to take place. This corruptible body that's able to die is going to change, or able to decay, is going to change, is able to get weak, is able to get sick. That's going to change, so that never be done again. You'll never have to be sick again or weak again. And he said, this mortal, the body that's able to die, is going to put on immortality so that you cannot die. He said, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? And then he goes on to say, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on. Number five. Jesus was the first person ever to be resurrected. Okay, this is what we're celebrating today. We're not celebrating a resuscitation of Jesus, just his body come back to life. We're representing or celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. He was the first one ever to be raised with a glorified body. You understand the difference? Okay, his resurrection was different than Lazarus' resurrection. Lazarus raised up in a body that died again. Jesus raised up in a body that can never die again. Okay, now, he is the first fruits of them that have fallen asleep, the Bible says. We just read that a few minutes ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, and I think also in verse 23, the very same thing again. Christ, the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming, those that belong to Christ when he comes. So he's the first fruits. Now, we talked about this a little while ago. In Leviticus, now you don't have to look back there. I got a scripture up here for you so you can stay in the same passage here. In Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9, 10, and 11, this is what it says. Okay, now you got to understand, everything that happened in the Old Testament was a picture of what was going to take place in the New Testament. And this is just a shadow. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord. He will bring in a bundle of wheat or whatever other crop it was, bring it to the priest as an offering, and he would take that and wave it before the Lord. And that signified that this is just the first fruits of the harvest. There's going to be a greater harvest coming. And this is trusting God for that greater harvest, really. They're just bringing, as a picture of the tithe, they're bringing the first part of it to God. Same as our income. We bring the first part to God. Now, so, and the Bible says, he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. And notice this, on the day after the Sabbath. Now, remember the first fruits. Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus is our first fruits. We just read that. And the priest was to do this the day after the Sabbath. Now, what is the day after the Sabbath? Sunday. Okay? When was Jesus resurrected? Sunday. Okay? This is why we call it Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. Easter Sunday is not a real good name for it, but anyway. He said, the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. It was a picture of Jesus, and the fact that the priest was waving this, they were believing God for a great harvest of wheat or crop, whatever they were growing that year. Now, let me say it this way. The fact that Jesus rose again as the first fruits, God saw him as the first fruits, signifies that there's a great harvest coming. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about it, the end of the age, the angels, and the Bible says, you know, there'll be a great harvest. And because those that are in the grave, the Bible says Jesus is going to speak. Those that are in the grave, the Bible says, will hear his voice. And they come forth, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting punishment. We'll go to that in a minute. Okay, let's move on. Number six, believers will receive their new bodies when Jesus returns. Okay, if you got a loved one that died 50 years ago or 5 minutes ago, hopefully nobody died 5 minutes ago. Don't you all going home nervous? But if you got a loved one that died, you know, several years ago or whatever, and you laid him in the grave, this week was 51 years since my father died. You know, he's been lying in the grave. But see, believers will receive their new bodies when Jesus returns. When he comes back, the Bible says, now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 17, I got it up here for you. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant or unlearned, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. He said, those that have died, because what was happening, people died off, and the Christians were saying, I thought we were all supposed to go to heaven. How come everybody's dying? And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. He said, I don't want you to be unlearned. And he said, I don't want you to be sorrowful. He said, don't sorrow like those who have no hope. We have a hope. This is what he says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that, he said, even so, God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall by no means precede those who are asleep. In other words, those that have already died, laid in the grave 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you know, and when Jesus, if Jesus came back today, we won't go up before them. They'll come up first, the Bible says, the dead and well, let's move on. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Okay? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he said, therefore, he said, comfort one another with these words. In other words, don't be sorrowful, he said, because your loved ones have died off. He said, God has not forgotten them. When Jesus comes back, you know, and the shout, he said, they're going to come back from the dead again. They're going to be changed. We just read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's going to be a change. Their bodies are going to be glorified. Ours are going to be changed. Remember what he said? We're not all going to sleep, but we're all going to be changed. And he said, ours will be changed, and we'll be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds. Now, or in the air. Okay, let's move on again. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 56. I already read this a few minutes ago. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. I just leave it at that. We're all going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The Bible says, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise. Now, let's move on. Every person who has ever lived will be resurrected. I get that? Not resuscitated. But every last person that ever lived, ever drew breath, every last person is going to be resurrected. Okay? And the Bible tells us in Matthew 25, verse 46, these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. There's going to be a resurrection of the lost. There's going to be a resurrection of the just. And those that are lost, well, I'll give you one more scripture there. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 15. Now this is what they call the great white throne judgment. This is the judgment of sinners, people that have rejected Jesus. Okay, this is the judgment. This is after the tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation period. Then there's a thousand-year millennial reign. After that, then Satan is loose for a season. The Bible says, remember, he's bound for 1,000 years here. The Bible says, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were fulfilled. So you read that there in Revelation. And so anyway, at the end of that 1,000-year reign, that's when the great white throne judgment is set up. That's like if somebody dies, and I'm not trying to judge anybody, but if somebody dies and they're a sinner, never ever accepted Jesus as their Savior, rejected his offer of salvation, they'll be in the grave 1,000 years longer than you were in there. Okay, because you were raised back here. They're going to go through all this time. They'll be raised up here to stand before the white throne judgment to be sentenced to eternity in hell. Can't make it any clearer than that, any plainer than that. Okay, in the lake of fire. And this is what he's saying. And John, somebody said, John saw farther back into the eons of ages at the beginning and farther into the future than any other prophet. John talked about, he said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember? He saw way, way, way back there. And John also saw even run out past all the other things of the kingdom being set up and everything else. John saw the great white throne judgment and what was going to take place there. And this is what he said. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on him, that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was not was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And then he goes on to say, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, those that have been lost at sea over the years. Death and Hades, or death and hell, death and the grave, some translations, delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Thank God, you don't have to worry. If you're a Christian today, you don't have to worry about the second death. But if you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is sad to say, this is where you're headed. Okay? There's 1,000 years on the road, you will die, you'll be placed in the grave. But 1,000 years on the road, you'll be raised, or 1,000 and however more years before Jesus comes back, but you'll be raised and you'll stand before the great white throne judgment. He said, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible tells us the lake of fire is where Satan has been cast, where the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophets, everything, they were all cast into the lake of fire. I think that was the last slide. So resurrection, when we talk about Jesus resurrected, Jesus said, because I live, you can live also. But it's up to us individually if we want to accept that or not. It's up to us individually if we want to accept Jesus as a payment for our sin and what he sacrificed for us. It's entirely up to us. God never forces himself on anybody, but he gives us the offer of salvation. And we thank God for what Jesus has done for us. We thank God for the resurrection of the dead. We thank God for, the scripture says that Jesus conquered death. For the Christian, there's absolutely nothing to be fearful of anymore. When we close our eyes in death, we open them up with God. And the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day the Bible says that he's going to come back and he's going to bring those that have died. God is going to bring back with him. And then our bodies are going to be resurrected. And they're going to be reunited to our bodies. But they're going to be glorified bodies. And we thank God for that. The glorification of the body. That's the end result of resurrection. Is that we'll live in transformed from the natural to the spiritual. And our bodies never be sick again, never die again, never have pain again, never be sorrowful again. The Bible says all these things have been passed away. Thank God. Thank God.